You received an outline if you'd like to follow along. His sermon on the book of Colossians. Started this, if you didn't know it, back it up. Events happened on Sunday evenings over the course of these last 5 months, and I was away for several of them, and first Sunday sayings and things like that. So it just it took 10, this is the 10th lesson on the subject of Colossians. I'm looking over my notes this afternoon, and I decided I need to have a different little introduction. So I just wrote down a few other things I want to use for an introduction. I titled the lesson, the glory of the ordinary, or there's glory in the ordinary. The ordinary are extraordinary. And then I put in my notes, there's no such thing as ordinary. If you're in the church, you're not ordinary. You're valued, you're precious, you're needed, you're appreciated, you're worth a lot, you're esteemed. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, for if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted. Right? It's accepted according to what one has and not according to what he has not. So you're everyone in the assembly, in the body, is extraordinary, valued, needed. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. You're not ordinary. You're extraordinary. Valued. And there's glory in that, in just being a member of the Lord's body. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 12. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So don't look at someone else and say, oh, look at them. They lead and do this or that. Wait a minute. No, the body's not one member. Many. Verse 21, one of my favorites. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Can't say that. Can't say that. Verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? So now, by way of in your notes, here's 10 people. Each are different, but each of them contribute to the cause of the gospel. A couple of these are very well known. The others not known so much. Now here's the text in Colossians chapter 4, beginning of verse 7. You can follow in the notes as I read these names, and you can see, you can just follow along as I read. All right, verse 7, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know of your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful, beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all happening here. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Verse 11, and Jesus, who's called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They prove to be a comfort to me. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that's in his house. Now, verse 16, now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it's read also in the church of the Laodiceans. and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Another one. Take heed to the, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. All right, let's take each of these in turn. Rather briefly, introduce these to you if you don't know them already. First one's Tychicus in verses 7 and 8. Look at how he describes him. Let me tell you about Tychicus, brethren. He's beloved brother. So Paul has a fondness for him. It's because of his work. And not only brother, he's faithful and a minister. So he attended to Paul. He was servant, a helper, a faithful minister while Paul was in Rome. Then he uses the word fellow servant. I always like that. When you think about your work, we all are fellow servants. We're involved in this. He's to be numbered among us, Paul is saying, in the work. Yeah, Tychicus. I don't know Tychicus. Peter, James, and John we know very well, but Tychicus. Paul said he's beloved, a brother, faithful, minister, fellow servant. He said, I'm sending him to you. So this, he's the letter carrier along with Onesimus. We'll read that in verse 9. He also carries the letter to Ephesus. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 6, verse 21, Paul said, but that you may know of my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know of our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. So, Tychicus. And then Paul says, and he'll tell you all the news about me. Yep. Tychicus. That Paul introduces in this last chapter, in verse 9, is with Onesimus. Now, we might know that name a little better. But Paul describes him now as faithful, beloved brother. See, Christianity is a tie that binds us together. We share a common faith. We're in the same family, family of God. So he describes Onesimus, faithful, beloved brother, who is one of you. We're all in the family of God. Now, Onesimus, as you may know already, is the subject of another of Paul's letters when he writes to Philemon, and he mentions Onesimus by name in verse 7. Philemon lives in Colossae. So, and remember the story of Onesimus. He started out as a bondservant to Philemon, but he ran away. He ends up in Rome, and he's a convert of Paul. Now, Paul is going to send him back to Philemon in Colossae. And he's about to be received, or is to be received, as a brother. In other words, faithful, one of you, Philemon. So here we have Tychicus and Onesimus, and they're going to carry three letters from Rome back to the congregations, one in Ephesus, one in Colossae, and one to the individual in Colossae, Philemon. Those are the two letters here. And then Paul said, they'll make known to you all the things that are happening here. I'd like to know what's happening with brethren and their congregations. You know, we had the Canyon View Church of Christ yesterday morning. Well over 100 people there. We just couldn't just see different people. I was sitting next to Ron McMurray. I said, Ron, where are you attending? And he told me. I said, well, how's the congregation doing there? And he gave me the information. Well, that's good, Ron. And so he asked about the brethren here. And he asked about some of you by name. Well, that's what Paul is doing here. So Tychicus and Onesimus. Then Aristarchus. Don't know that name very well, do we? In verse 10. Paul says, he's my fellow prisoner. and he greets you. Yeah. He was a Macedonian of Thessalonica. And one of Paul's converts, and also a travel companion of Paul, Aristarchus. Aristarchus. We're introduced, I'll give you a little background of Aristarchus. He was introduced, or we are introduced to Aristarchus at a riot in Ephesus. The story is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter, did I mention that in your notes? Okay. In Acts chapter 19, verse 23, here's the background of the story. About that time, there arose a great commotion about the way, the church. They named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He helped them out financially. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation, and Demetrius said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. But moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying, they are not gods which are made with hands." That's right, Paul. Preach it, Paul. It's going to get you in trouble. So in verse 29, still in Acts 19. So the whole city was filled with confusion. They rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus. I mean, that's the name in our text. They seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. In chapter 20, verse 1. Well, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. In verses 4 and 5 of Acts 20. So Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus. Boy, there's a couple more that are in this last letter, this last chapter of Colossians. Aristarchus, Timothy, and Tychicus. Ordinary? No. Extraordinary. Even though we may not know much about them. In Acts 26, Paul is, after preaching before some governors, in Acts 26, verse 32, Agrippa says to Festus, "This man," meaning Paul, "appealed to Caesar," in chapter 27 of Acts. So when it was decided that we should set sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan band or regiment. So entering a ship, we put to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. Ah. So Paul now begins this letter, Aristarchus to Colossae, "My fellow prisoner greets you." He's a travel companion of Paul. Goes all the way to Rome. In Acts 28, verse 16, "We came to Rome," the verse says. "The centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard." Paul and the others are prisoners in Rome. So there's Aristarchus. Started with a riot in Ephesus. Now we have verse 4, number 4, and verse 10, with Mark. Now this John Mark is the author of the gospel according to Mark. In Acts chapter 15, if you remember this story, Paul comes back from finishes his first missionary journey, and Mark is involved in the dispute with Paul and Barnabas. So on the next missionary journey, Paul did not want to take Mark, so Paul took Silas. Barnabas, Paul's first companion on his first missionary journey, says, "I'll take John Mark." Well, what happened now is now you have two missionaries, missionary team. You have Paul and Silas, Barnabas and John Mark. So Mark is there with Paul in Rome. Mark sends greetings. But later, all is well after that dispute. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says, "Luke is with me, but get Mark," to Timothy, "and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus," wait, I heard that name before too, haven't we? "Tychicus, I've sent to Ephesus." Yeah. I'll take the letter. Tells Timothy, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. And if John Mark comes to you, welcome him." So the breach has been healed. The next one, verse 11, you have Jesus, who's called Justice. I put in your notes, Jesus was his Jewish name, Justice his Greek name. So he's described, he's another fellow worker for the kingdom of God. Justice, my fellow worker for the kingdom. But he's also, Paul adds, he's proved to be a comfort to me. Oh, we need a friend like that, don't we? I'm not in prison, but if I'm going through trouble, it happens. I need a friend. I need a friend. Someone to comfort me. He's only, like I said, he's only mentioned this once, but and a comfort. So that, again, that title of the lesson that for this section of the chapter, there's glory in the ordinary. In just being a comfort to someone, to a fellow worker. The next one in verses 12 and 13, Epaphras. We don't hear that name very often either. But Epaphras, look how Paul describes him. He's one of you. All right. So he's a brother. He's a member of God's family. He's a resident of Colossae. He's he's not only just one of you, he's a bondservant of Christ. So Paul now emphasizes his relationship to Christ. There you go. Epaphras, I don't know you very well. Oh, but I'm a bondservant of Christ. Well, that unites us. That brings us together. Welcome. People would know to whom he belonged and on whose side he stood. Paul said, he's a bondservant of Christ. I already know a lot about you. You're a bondservant of Christ. That describes discipleship, devotion. And then another phrase he uses of Epaphras, he's laboring fervently for you in prayers. It's interesting, he prays with a purpose. Notice, Paul, what's Epaphras praying about? That you may stand, the brethren of Colossae, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's my prayer. God, I'm offering my thanksgiving and everything else. Help us in time of need. But I want to pray that the congregation here stands perfect and complete in your will. Yeah. Add that to our prayers. He's praying always and fiercely for their maturity of faith. And then he says, and he not only praying for you with this fierceness, he has great zeal for you. So Epaphras was one that would go around teaching and preaching in this tri-city area of Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. Look at all that he's doing, and we hardly know his name. Epaphras. Glory of the ordinary, the fellow worker, but he's... I don't know. I haven't heard. He's not notable necessarily everywhere except right here. They know of his work. Number in verse 14, number 7, we have Luke. Beloved physician. Well, we knew that. And so Luke is with Paul in Rome. And when Paul writes to Philemon, he mentions again a list of names. And some of they're in this chapter too. Where he, also, when he writes to the church in Colossae, remember, Philemon lives in Colossae. So he's writing to the church and to Philemon. Two different things. But in Philemon, verse 23, Epaphras, there's our man, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke. Four names, just in a single chapter to Philemon. By the way, with me, fellow prisoners, send greetings. My fellow laborers. So while writing to Philemon and while writing to the congregation in Colossae, where Philemon is, Luke is mentioned in both letters. It's interesting when you think, where did... that was Timothy. So Luke. Next here you have Demas. Timothy's name, I forgot that. Okay.
He's not on the list.
No. All right. Demas already, just from one verse. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he's departed for Thessalonica. But Demas was at one time with Paul in Rome. Again, when Paul writes to Philemon, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. But somewhere along the line, Demas leaves, forsakes, having loved the present world. I don't want that on my obituary. The next one, verse 15, number 9, Nymphas. Nymphas is not in Rome. But Paul addresses the church in Colossae. And in verse 15 of this of Colossians, says, greet the brethren also who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house, or their house. So all we know about this individual, he's in Colossae, he was to be greeted, and he has a church or congregation in his house. That's an interesting phrase, in their house. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila, Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. When Paul writes to Philemon, in verses 1 and 2, to Philemon, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So the brethren gathered in their homes. But Nymphas just mentions, just his name is stated. Then the last one, number verse 17. And say to Archippus, oh, I like this one, one of my favorites. We don't know much about Archippus. Perhaps he's the minister, the preacher, if you will, in Colossae. And so Paul is asking the congregation to minister to the minister. So he says to this church in Colossae, say to Archippus, what should the congregation, you know, the person here, what would you say to me? Well, he wants the brethren to say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. That's what I want to hear. Take heed to the ministry. And when Paul writes to Timothy, he describes Timothy's work as a minister. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, Paul says, till I come, give attention, you know, some effort, purpose to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's a job description for a preacher. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, the job description. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast. Paul told Timothy, another job description, in chapter 4, verse 2 of 1 Timothy, preach the word. Be ready, or instant, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then Paul says to the brethren here in Colossae, say to Archippus the second thing, after he says, take heed to the ministry, that you may fulfill it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4, Paul tells Timothy, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Job description. You've heard me say this before sometimes in class. I don't write to or maybe going through hardships or a bereavement because I'm the minister. I do it because I'm a member of the congregation, just like you. I don't visit the hospitals because I'm a minister. I do it because I'm a member of the congregation, just like you. When it's time for the worship assembly, I'm sitting just like you and participating in the prayers by listening, saying amen, by participating in the singing, observing the Lord's Supper, the scripture reading, the offering, everything. I'm doing that not because I'm a member of the congregation. You don't see anything about this job description, about doing those things. Paul, what do you want Timothy as a minister to do? Give attention. Preach the word. Be watchful. Endure afflictions. Do the work. Now, I do funerals and weddings because I'm a minister, I guess. But for the majority part, the service, the stewardship, evangelism, benevolence, I do that because I'm part of you. It just happens that during the worship assembly, after other men have participated or led us in events in worship, the singing and the prayers and the Lord's Supper and the scripture reading and the offering, then it's my turn to get up and lead us in a time of Bible study. But for those other events, I'm sitting with you. So the way the congregation ministers to the minister, as Paul told the brethren Colossae, this say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you may fulfill it. Yeah. We're brethren. We have mutual obligation. We're in the same family, spiritual family. And then the last thing in verse 18, this admonition by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. I'm not sure what he wants brethren to remember about his chains. Maybe it's saying that you can stay faithful even in the midst of severest hardship. Mm-hmm. That could be one thing. But remember my chains. Okay. That Paul stays on God's side. He still lets people know to whom he belongs instead of on whose side he stands. So that's the lesson. Next Lord's Day evening, Lord willing, Jesse has the Apocrypha, whatever else on that. 2 weeks from tonight, again, Lord willing, I'm trying to put together, I want to go through the Romans chapter 14. I don't think I can do it in one sermon, but I'm going to start Romans chapter 14. And it's just how to get along with people that disagree with us on opinions. So, Lord willing, 2 weeks from tonight, I'll fulfill my ministry, yes, in a sense. I'm stepping on dangerous ground and declares in some ways. I'll just preach the word. So, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. The church, I've been baptized for remission of sins. We extend an invitation for you to do that. You've heard the good news that God so loved the world. You believe it. As Jesus even said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe. But that's not the only thing, as we said in this morning's lesson. You need to repent, because Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then we make our confession of our faith. Then we're baptized. That's the last words of Jesus during his earthly ministry. This is what I want you to know and do. In Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the invitation we extend. That's what we preach. That's what we close with. And so if you're subject to that invitation, if that's your desire this evening, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that. Just simply let your request be made known at the close of the song. Let's stand together. We'll sing this selected chorus. If that's your desire, your resolve, to simply come and let that request be made.